So we are all right. So welcome to In Plain Sight, Jeremy in Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donates in the fundage. This is your Thursday night broadcast, the William and Jeremy Show. Let's welcome the Red Pillar, the ultimate heavyweight champion, all Red Pills.
I must break you.
So we have William Repellum joining us. William, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy. Yeah, I hear your voice. You're having a rough time locally right now. So I'm going to try to help you out tonight. And I got a lot of material that I want to get through. Yeah, we got Debbie Wasserman Schultz talking to another Jew woman doing a little PR video. She's doing her normal pill pull lambate or slandering and defaming white guys, talking about the neo-Nazis that were spewing anti-Semitic hate and bile.
Stop defaming me.
With the tiki torches. Yep. Those evil tiki torch holders, evil, evil monsters marching around. They don't have a right to do that. But she definitely has a right to, you know, call a meeting in Congress and destroy the political hopes of Robert F. Kennedy and take away his free speech. So we're going to do a little comparison of the Debbie Wasserman Schultz Cretan style pill pull
that she does there tonight. Remarks.
But before we do, please go to republicbroadcasting.org and donate whatever you can, folks. Station greatly needs your assistance now, more than ever. It's always more than ever, but it's always is more than ever. The times are getting tougher and tougher and tougher to make ends meet. So, and again, we don't do this for money. We're volunteers here. We don't make money. We're just doing this to get the truth out. Somebody's trying to do it, and so I don't think you're going to find a station like RBN that really, really goes to the root of the problems that we're having here. And not everybody appreciates that. And so we're happy to talk to those people that don't appreciate it, so hopefully we can come to an understanding. I had a guy call in on Tuesday night on when I was subbing for Richard's show, because I was really going hard and talking about the Jews and trying to get the Jews that maybe are tired of the Jewish supremacist lies and deception and pill pull and you know, hypocrisy and all of the horrible, horrible crimes that Jews have committed in the last century and covered up and blamed on white people. And I think there are probably some people that are from the Jewish tribe that would like to jump ship from that, because, you know, everybody's watching what the Jews are doing over in Gaza right now, this genocide they're committing against the Palestinians. It's so obvious, and so many people are waking up, and I think they're seeing the writing on the wall. So, Jeremy, yeah, and, kick it to you.
Ben Shapiro actually called out anyone that you know, is critical of Israel's response in Gaza, the genocide. Specifically, he mentioned the World Kitchen that's trying to bring food and supplies to the Palestinians, and they were bombed 4 times. And so if you mention this, even mentioning this is a blood libel, according to Ben Shapiro.
Right.
So you can't call it the atrocities.
Yeah. So I think I saw something on this yesterday. And mentioning Israel killing aid workers is anti-Semitic blood libel, says Ben Shapiro. So, and that's one of the, let's knock this out, the Ben Shapiro. My stupid computer still is not, I switched my internet, I had to turn my Wi-Fi back on at home here. And after I turned my Wi-Fi back home on, I no longer, my connected Ethernet line doesn't work anymore. It's really frustrating. I've tried resetting my switch. Yeah, okay. You don't want to hear about my problems at home, okay? So go ahead and play that, Shapiro, if you got it ready. I think I didn't find a video in there, though. I didn't find a Shapiro. I just found some guys commenting on. Yeah, Andrew Schultz. I've never heard of this guy, but he's got a room full of guys. Everybody's a different race, but they're calling out Israel.
He makes the argument for censorship. He calls it something else.
Yeah, I forget the term. I have it in my phone.
But I don't even think he's using the term right. But he's basically like, there's a window of ideas we accept.
Yes.
And we accept ideas between this, I guess this is, if I get window, you're looking like this. So we accept ideas between here and here. And anything outside of that window, well, you're fireable. That's censorship.
What?
But yeah. He's acting as if this is like a justified reason for firing people when you built your identity and platform off of no censorship and freedom of speech. And facts don't care about your feelings and all this shit.
It's also funny that that window happens to end where his beliefs end.
Isn't it interesting that
not being pro-Israel, that's where the window ends. That's
what?
Also your specific personal belief.
What?
So I just don't see.
You can't have an opinion on your platform that is not pro a country that is not ours?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
It's crazy.
Is the Daily Wire an American media platform or is it an Israeli media platform? I'm just asking.
This guy's cooking.
If the rule is you cannot be critical, because he has no problem being very critical of America.
Yep.
True. Critical of the left in America. Left True. Is half the country.
That's
you have half. No problem eviscerating half
That's
of the country.
That's the current party in power.
But you can't criticize Israel as a country. That's just another country. Unless you're saying, and you're clearly admitting, that the Daily Wire is an arm of the Israeli, I guess, media or propaganda machine. Are you manipulating the religious right in America? Are you manipulating the right-wing conservatives in America and selling them country western movies and putting on your little cowboy hat and fake moving to Nashville so that you could take all their money and then in the process restricting free speech, one of the core tenets of the American identity? Ben.
Oof. Benjamin.
What is happening? There's trouble in paradise.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shapiro's blood libel claim came in response to a video from Chef Jose Andres, an American citizen and the founder of the World Central Kitchen, who said that Israeli forces targeted the workers deliberately and that Israel's fight against Hamas is not a war against terrorism anymore, and that instead it has become a war against humanity itself. And this is because the workers of the World Central Kitchen tried to deliver food to starving Palestinians amidst not only a genocide, but a famine, a bombing genocidal famine. And if you call this out, if you say that this is inhumane, it's a blood libel against the Jews. That's what Shapiro is saying.
Right. Yep. I mean, I don't think the shelf life on this is going to have. Meanwhile, you've got Shapiro's tribe just committing blood, actually committing blood genocide. and so, I mean, how long can you put up this? Oh, what you say is blood libel, while you just like mercilessly genocide and kill and murder and with no remorse or compunction whatsoever. How long is the world going to tolerate this? You know, and so that's why I speak to the Jews that are more reasonable out there, that are not psychopaths, that maybe have the wherewithal to jump ship. I mean, look, we've had to make sacrifices as white folks, all right, to jump ship from taking the blue pill and just going along with everything. All right, we've suffered a lot of losses from that. So, and we're human beings. Are you Jews human beings too that can also jump ship from and you know suffer the consequences for it? Because the consequences for continuing on to support this are going to be unbearable. Unbearable. So I don't think every Jew is an absolute psychopath like these, like what we see, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu and these Likudniks and these Ben Shapiro's and all these Debbie Wasserman Schultz and all these people that are totally shameless about what they're doing and what they're supporting. So
for today's program, Black Lives Matter.
Yes. So, okay. Next clip. Is this new clip between of a discussion that's about 6 minutes long, and what happens? It's Debbie Wasserman Schultz and then some other Jewish lady whose eyes look all bugged out like Barbara Spector's, and then she speaks in that soft voice, and it's just like, it's like really gross and creepy. You just want to peel all the goop off yourself because of the way the voice sounds. Oh, we're from the Jewish Council and we're fighting Jewish rights. Yeah, so I mean, you notice like the, you have to peel goop off yourself every time you listen to, you know, this.
I'm
this,
CEO of the Jewish Democratic Council of America, and I want to thank you all for joining us.
I mean, did you get a taste? We're going to listen to that whole thing. But real quick, then I'm going to circle back over to, because she talks, so Deborah Wasserman Schultz at the end of this clip, she talks about the white supremacist neo-Nazis that marched with their tiki torches over in Charlottesville in 2017, and they were spewing bile, anti-Semitic bile, right? And so, you know, they're going to bring the force of all of their Jewish groups, their huge agency of legion of Jewish supremacist power monger, anti-truth, just smear and completely defame whoever steps in their way, which in this case of the Charlottesville were these guys, these, you know, walk with their teaching, these brave young white men walking with their teaching torches, and all they're doing is saying Jews will not replace us. You know, just simply standing up to the fact that Jews are behind this massive invasion into our countries.
The entire world saw their hatred up close and personal.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, we might just jump to that spot. I mean, we don't have to listen to the entire thing, but I think it's a little bit. Maybe we can just jump up to about, if you jump to about 4 minutes and 45 seconds, 4 minutes and 40 seconds, Mike, on that video, it'll start with Debbie Wasserman Schultz begins her pill pull.
A monumental effort to continue fighting for progress. And our only path forward is together, two communities remaining intertwined. We had neo-Nazis storm through Charlottesville carrying tiki torches and spewing racist and anti-Semitic bile. We all felt that from afar. You don't have to go back to 2017 to know that a few months ago, when those racists and anti-Semites stormed the Capitol on January 6th, They were hell-bent on causing destruction, violence, and murder.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Wait a minute. Hell-bent on creating violence, destruction, and murder. Hell-bent on creating... This is Bevy Wasserman Schultz. Hell-bent on creating violence, destruction, and murder. What are you talking about, W. Wasserman Schultz? They were peacefully marching, saying Jews will not replace us. How is that hell-bent on creating violence, destruction, and murder? Isn't that what you're doing over in Gaza right now, Debbie Wasserman Schultz? You're creating violence, destruction, and murder.
Anti-Semites stormed the Capitol on...
So
yeah, let's keep going with it. Or go ahead, Jeremy, if you got a comment.
Yeah, what I was going to say is, as the left or the Democrat Party, their base is pushing back against this because their base supports Palestine and is against this genocide, and they have no one to represent them in politics. And but the right wing, you know, under Trump, the Trump supporters, they're very pro-Israel. So what this clip is doing is trying to associate Trump supporters, the Charlottesville march with the tiki torches and the January 6th protests, they're associating it with anti-Semitism.
It's another country, unless you're saying, and you're clearly admitting that the Daily Wire is an arm of the Israeli,
yeah,
I guess, media or propaganda machine.
Well, you see what's going on here. The left is losing their base. The base of the left is becoming pro-Palestinian. And so they're trying to associate being pro-Palestinian with being, you know, pro-Tiki Torch March, pro-Charlottesville, pro-Trump, and all that. While on the other hand, the right is losing its base because Candace Owens, who was a very huge commentator for ultra-right-wing politics, parts ways with Ben Shapiro and his conservative outlet, The Daily Wire. As Candace Owens sees these atrocities and she speaks out against it. So the Jewish power is losing both its support on the left and the right. And they're sort of in throes.
Are you
right
manipulating
now.
The religious right?
Yeah, Jeremy, that's the silver lining here. And I would really, I think that ultimately we're going there. It's just how many times will the Leviathan, the Jewish Leviathan, whack its tail, the Godzilla? How many buildings is Godzilla, Jewzilla, gonna destroy in its path as it goes and it pushes the Samsung option button? Because they
were hell bent on causing destruction, violence, and murder. And they were racist and anti-Semites.
Racist and anti-Semites. They were racist and anti-Semites, okay? Racist and anti-Semites. Hell-bent on creating violence and destruction.
We should be on the break right now. We're on the break. Okay.
Yeah, let's get to the blended blemish, but hold on before we do. Let's play this clip. Okay, I went back. I want to just circle back to what happened last August with Debbie Wasserman Schultz and how she blood libeled.
Wanted to make sure that the members of Congress on this call and the entire world saw their hatred up close and personal.
Yeah, how she blood libeled Robert F. Kennedy. So can we play that clip? Do you have that clip, Mike? Got to you, right? So it's, yeah. This got some Jimmy Dore. This has Jimmy Dore commentary in it as well. It's some pretty funny stuff. Let's go ahead.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who cheated Bernie Sanders, and that's why she had to step down as chairman of the Democratic National Committee, because she got caught cheating Bernie Sanders and rigging the primary in 2016 against him. Bernie Sanders courageously went in to do nothing about it. He did absolutely nothing about it. He didn't make them pay a price for it. And now Debbie Wasserman Schultz is still in Congress. And she does stuff like this. She's going to try and smear RFK Jr. as an anti-Semite. You think I'm kidding? Watch.
Well-educated. So yes or no, please. Are you aware that for centuries, Jews have been scapegoated and blamed for causing illnesses like Black Plague and more recently COVID?
I am. Those are known as blood libel, and they are one of the worst and most disturbing parts of human history.
Good. I'm glad to know that, of course, that you acknowledge that. Of course, it's true and well documented that this pernicious form of anti-Semitism led to centuries of discrimination, even horrific pogroms and massacres, and it still fuels deadly violence today. Yet last week, you floated a baseless conspiracy theory that the coronavirus was bioengineered to target Caucasians and black people, but to spare Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese people. Mr. Kennedy, your bizarre, unproven claim echoes that same historic slander of labeling Jews and Chinese people as a race, and that Jews, and in this case Chinese people, somehow managed to avoid a deadly illness that targets other groups for death. You do see that, yes?
Okay, so she's totally distorting what happened to make him look like an anti-Semite, just like she totally distorted what Matt Taibbi did to make him look like he was some kind of hack journalist instead of a guy exposing corruption inside the government and suppressing free speech of Americans. So she's doing the same thing to RFK's chief. That's who she is.
And also, maybe she's put a little hair gel in.
I would say more hair gel. Why not? She looked like she put hair gel in and then ironed the top of her head.
It looks like
but
one of those.
Who am I to talk about a woman? I think it looks fantastic.
So I just want to push.
Are you manipulating the religious right?
Yeah, I just want to push this point and reiterate it, if you can understand me, is that the left is losing its base. And the left wants to associate pro-Palestinian with ultra-far right. Even though the right-wing Trump supporters are pro-Israel, right? So that's why they're comparing this pro-Palestinian, political movement to far right-wing politics. So in the process, they're also destroying libertarians that would vote for RFK Jr. And they're trying to paint him as anti-Semitic. And now that Candace Owens has parted ways with Ben Shapiro, she's going to take a huge part of the Trump supporters with her in protesting the Palestinian genocide. And they're getting protested on all sides. And so they're just pulling out all the stops. And they're just pulling that same card. Everybody that criticizes us, whether you're left, right, or libertarian, you're anti-Semitic. That's right. The card that they're pulling, yeah.
I would say more hair gel. She looked like she put hair gel in and then ironed the top of her head.
Yeah, I noticed how she uses the word scapegoats. I mean, Jews are they've scapegoated us. Look at all the things they've scapegoated us for. The transatlantic slave trade, right? Starting all these wars, starting the war in World War II. Right, they scapegoated Hitler for that. Hitler didn't start World War II. The Jews did. The Jews maneuvered World War II. The evidence is all there. I mean, Louis Farrakhan documented the evidence in his book, The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews. It's all documented. All of these brokers, all of these brokers are brokering the deals for, these slave auction holders, the ships, the Jewish ships that brought the slaves over, owned by Aaron Lopez, the Jew. The whole trade, Dutch East India Company, was a Jewish, corporation. All these things are documented, and we've been scapegoated. And so we got Debbie Wasserman Schultz doing, like, the last, like, disclaimer on the commercial where it's really fast, reading really. It's like, wow, how does she read so quickly?
Who am I to talk about a woman?
So as we come into the 2024 elections, in their zeal to protect themselves, the Jews are alienating both the left, the right, and anybody in between that would be libertarian, in saying that anyone in these groups that attack them or that just simply voice their opposition to Palestinian genocide, anybody that voices that opposition is an attack on the Jews. And so that's kind of a...
In Charleston, Pittsburgh, and countless times over the past year, racism and anti-Semitism have been on the rise, and our communities have faced this explosion of bigotry and hate and come together.
Explosion of bigotry and hate. Yeah, okay, so going to go in and committing genocide against a whole race of people over in Palestine is that's not what that is. That's not bigotry or hate, is it, Jeremy? Because Jews do whatever they want.
That clip is evidence that the left is losing their base, and they're trying to associate pro-Palestinian movements with the far right. You see, to try to bring their base back, but it's not working. It's not working.
Sir, my message is simple. Naggers, Jews, homosexuals, Mexicans, Arabs, and all kinds of different chanks stink, and I hate it.
That's it. Clayton Bigsby said it.
So we got that next clip with the CIA. I found this on Vince James. He did a expose about it. CIA worker guy. We call it a notch. Hang on a second, Mike. The CIA guy, the gay CIA FBI guy who went out on a date. I guess it was another like was a Veritas type of interview with a date guy who was pretending to be a date for this gay date for this guy. And he was very gaily explaining and spilling the beans about what the FBI does, what the kind of how they nudge and, you know, do the entrap people. So this is pretty cool to see him come out and do that. So the clip it's kind of some audibility issues on it, but it's not the best sound. But let's go ahead and give it a listen.
America? Are you manipulating the right-wing conservatives in America and selling them country western movies and putting on your little cowboy hat and fake moving to Nashville so that you could take all their money and then in the process restricting free speech, one of the core tenets of the American identity?
All right, yeah, let's move on to the CIA officer, former FBI official clip.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Oh, I think it looks
You're just saying that because you're bald and you're jealous that she has hair.
We will be back on the break. Let's come back on the other side of the break. More William break and Jerry. Yet. There's the music.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Back to the William and Jeremy show on RBN. Let me just surmise. So as these three groups, the left, the right, and the libertarians, are criticizing the Jews for the Palestinian genocide, the Jews are claiming that all three of these groups are anti-Semitic for criticizing them. Thus, they're alienating politically all three of these groups. So that's my bottom line on all the clips that we played and the discussions that we've had. Now, concerning my voice, I don't believe in viruses or anything like that. So what happened was I left my window open while I was taking a hot shower, and then I slept with the window open, and I've got moisture in my lungs. So I'm pulling this moisture out by cranking my wood stove. It's pulling the moisture out of the air. I'm drinking a stout martini, and I'm smoking American cigarettes.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
If you're in the club of martinis and American spirit cigarettes, then join me, please. But my voice is subpar tonight. Apologize. But my analysis is sure. The Jews are alienating every political party because everyone, there's a large portion of every political party that does not agree with this Palestinian genocide. And the Jews are calling them anti-Semitic if you don't agree with them, and calling it a blood libel. So that's kind of my surmise of everything that we've said and played. And I know we have callers. Let me kick it to you, William, to take over the show and do some callers.
Are we going to get to the Blevins clip? Or are we just kicking Blevins to the curb? I mean, maybe we should put that in the newsreel. But just play a little bit of it.
Hey, you wouldn't jail take Lynn. What to do?
How?
It's Bureau Practice Entrapment in the lab.
We get really close. We call it a nudge.
A nudge.
A nudge. Sometimes you just gotta get a quick little... just to see what happens. Sometimes you light the fuse and just wait for it to follow. Nothing like putting on a fake social media thing to like really get people mad.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
You are?
We did what we wanted.
Which was what?
Took his money away. Chopped his legs off.
If you want to explain that clip, William, and then let's make sure we get to Lynn in Maryland. She's on the hold.
Yeah, I mean, I did explain it a little while ago, but again, from what you can hear, you can't hear the audio very well, but he's going, we give the January Sixers a nudge. And he gets a little, and then he does a little, like, gay hand waving with, you know. So it's just interesting to see behind the scenes, you know, like who is doing all this pill pull exercise? Who's doing this dishonest travesty of justice? I mean, we obviously see the people at the top, but we see some of the workers now too, you know? And we see all how they're transgendering our military. Well, of course, that's what's also happening at the CIA and people working. Now you have the willing parties.
Cool up with the anti-Semitic remarks.
That hate the white male. That hate the nature. You know,
there is a man, baby.
Want to normalize homosexuality, sodomy, you know, pedophilia, probably. So there you go. Let's take Lynn in Maryland.
Stop defaming me.
Lynn, welcome. Nah.
Thank you.
All right, Lynn, welcome.
Thank you, Jeremy. I'm glad you said that about your voice because I was concerned when I heard it. So enjoy that martini, and I hope it straightens it right up. And I hope you feel
sir,
okay.
My message is simple.
Well, my message is simple, too. actually, I listen to this guy, Chuck Crismeyer, his radio show called Viewpoint, so I tortured myself for a few minutes last week. He had this woman from Israel on, who's like a radio host who speaks English. You know, that must go over well for Christian radio in Israel. You know, she's got to be, you know, their toy. But it's the most
leaders
wonderful
of our communities would come together. We have historic ties of fighting racism, oppression, and anti-Semitism together, and we need to strengthen those bonds.
Don't worry, she's got my opinion more than once. And thing is, though, Israel's the most happiest place on the planet to live. And you know how you know? Because her baby carriage is all over the place. And I'm like, are there unicorns and glitter, too? But here's the other thing, is that, you know, we got to remember, those who bless Israel, God will bless. And those who curse Israel, God will curse. And the Christian Zionists drive me crazy. But the Democrats also go right along with rah-rah Israel. The one person I give credit to these days is Chris Van Hollen. He actually has stuck his neck out saying, no, no, there needs to be a ceasefire and they need aid. And they do. They do. But also, I wanted to ask William, I left my number with Mike. If you get a chance, if you wouldn't mind giving me a call, if you have a minute or two. I just wanted to talk to you for a minute, if you wouldn't mind.
Thank you, Congresswoman Brenda Lawrence. This caucus has the same goal as today's discussion, to strengthen coalitions that can implement change together by building from our common struggles.
And I think Mike's having a lot of fun.
Right on, Lynn. Okay. Well, Lynn, can you leave an email? I mean, maybe do you have Skype?
I don't know, because I'm not online. I don't have email.
Oh, okay. You just have a landline?
Yeah, just a landline. I'm almost always here. My voicemail picks up at 7 rings, but hopefully I'll be at the phone.
Benjamin,
what is happening?
Sorry to call.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you both so much.
If you want to leave.
Wonderful.
Lynn in Maryland, I have Mike send you my cell phone. You can give me a call.
Paradise.
So. Oh, well, I'll try to give you a call.
There's yeah, trouble Mike, in paradise.
Yeah, Mike, just give Lynn my cell phone. I can give her a call, or she can give me a call.
Okay. So, let's see. What else do we got? All right. Well, so let's jump into some of these other stories, okay, Jeremy? All right. So we've got the something. Jump over to what I sent you. Some of these stories.
Stop defaming me.
You think you're tough? You're about to get it.
Not too bright, folks. Not too bright.
Insurance company surveillance nearly. This is a Zero Hedge article. Or blacklisted news, I'm sorry. Yeah, insurance company surveillance. Nearly every building in the country is being photographed, often without the owner's knowledge. Okay, so check this out. Now, this is about insurance companies and, you know, dropping, you know, people because of they're taking pictures with drones of their roofs, and they're saying, oh, the roof looks, you know, has any blemish on it or whatever. They're going to analyze from the roof, from a drone, people's roofs. You know, what are they going to see? If they see somebody has the wrong flag in their yard, they're going to drop them from the insurance too? Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure that's probably the case. So here's the story. Okay, Cindy Picos was dropped by her home insurer last month. The reason: aerial photos of her roof, which her insurer refused to let her see. They don't even let you see. See, this is just like what they do on Facebook when they drop you out. Terms of service, you violated. Okay. I thought they had the wrong house, said Picos, who lives in Northern California. Our roof is in fine shape. Her insurer said its images showed her roof had lived its life expectancy. Picos paid for an independent inspection that found the roof had another 10 years of life. Her insurer declined to reconsider its decision. So, across the U.S., insurance companies are using aerial images of homes as a tool to ditch properties seen as higher risk. Nearly every building on the country is being photographed, often without the owner's knowledge. I mean, we'll look at what Google does, okay? Companies are deploying drones, manned airplanes, and high-altitude balloons to take images of properties. No place is shielded. The industry-funded Geospatial Insurance Consortium has an airplane imagery program. It says owner covers 99% of the U.S. population. All right, so.
On the lone highway.
It goes on a little. It's got a few more paragraphs, but kick it over to you, Jeremy.
Well, it's just a setup because, you know, this insurance company doesn't want to cover a house that could very well be susceptible to rain or storms. But it could cross over, as you're mentioning, to surveilling people and targeting them for their political beliefs. And it doesn't just have to stop with drone surveillance. They could surveil your social media, your email, and anything you put out there. You express your political and social points of view or religious points of view. And they could deny you services based on your point of view. And they could disguise it as, well, you're not insurable. I think that's where it's going.
Oh, man, I think that's where.
That's exactly correct, Jeremy. That's exactly what it is.
Before you got this program, you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not. What do you think, huh?
Let's move on to the next story. Let me see here. The next story: Army developing faster, improved now. Oh, you want some more Blennis or whatever his name is? Mike? Wow. Let me just get this story real quick. Real quick. Hold on a second.
We get really close.
Just give me a second. It's hard to hear that audio. Put it on the newsreel, Mike. But yeah, we'll catch a little bit of it in a minute. Okay, Army developed this is actually from the army.mil, okay? So in this article it talks about how the Army uses directed energy weapons. So you know how you go out and mention directed energy weapons used to blow up Lahaina, and then like the Zogbots just kind of like their eyes bulge out and they're like, hey, you're so stupid, your conspiracy theory. Oh, I'm retarded. Oh, I can't believe you said that. Army, so let me just read it to you, okay? Army developing faster improved data kill chain.
I don't know how to put this.
Yes. Let me get through this. Data kill chain for lethal and non-lethal fires. Nashville, Tennessee. The Army is putting new emphasis on using technology, including artificial intelligence and machine learning, to speed up the kill chain process of locating and firing on targets, said a panel of experts at Technical Exchange Meeting 9, or TEM-9, Gathering of Industry and Military Experts. And by the way, this is a year-old article. The TEM held in Nashville in December is the ninth in a series of sessions focused on informing industry to help shape the Army's communication, the data systems for the battlefield of the future, which is basically taking out all of Middle America, right? Army experts said that one of the challenges in modernizing the kill chain process is in increasing amounts of data Army leaders receive due to the increased use of sensors and communication systems of satellite aircraft, drones, vehicles, and even soldiers. Undersecretary of the Army Gabe Camarillo noted in opening remarks in the two-day meeting that the challenge is often not a matter of too little data, but too much. So right now they're trying to figure out how they're going to sort out this data. There's so much data. All right, yeah. Let me find the part where it mentions directed energy weapons. Colonel Matt Paul, Project Manager, Mission Command, the Exec Community Battlefield, quickly locate and identify targets, help commanders select the best assets. These include the weapons, artillery, mortars, aircraft missiles, and even directed energy weapons such as lasers. Okay, so right in their own words in this article, all right, these assets include direct fire weapons, artillery, mortars, aircraft missiles, and even directed energy weapons such as lasers. Okay, so if you guys want to find this article, U.S. Army, Army.mil, Army Developing Fast. The title is Army Developing Faster, Improved Data Kill Chain for Lethal and Non-Lethal Fires. And it's from a year ago. But show this to anybody that tells you that, oh, direct energy weapon, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist.
Well, as we came into 2016 and 2017, you had this phenomenon of the Havana syndrome, the Havana syndrome, where it was suspected that direct energy weapons were targeting U.S. officials in Havana, Cuba, as well as India and China, and that Russia was blamed for this. And so they blame Russia. Why? Because they said that Russia interfered in our elections in 2016. So this was just another excuse. So my take is that the U.S. government was using these weapons to target their own people and blaming Russia in order to continue on the Russia hoax of Russia influenced the 2016 election, and Russia wants Trump in power, and thus far and thus so. That's my take on the whole directed energy weapons thing. And also, I do think that they destroyed areas in California, in Canada, and in Hawaii with these direct energy weapons in order to destroy the cities and the areas and rebuild them as smart cities. That's my whole take on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Spot on. Can't add much to it. I like how Mike gives us little breaks, like spontaneously, like he's given us about 20 of them tonight, Dude, he gives us little 20, like 5-second breaks. It really helps take some of the pressure off, because it can be a lot trying to talk. Okay, thanks. There we go again.
But that's my take, is that our own government are using these weapons against us. And if they're found out, or if enough people call it out,
I know Dirty Wasserman Schultz, like a mythical Japanese kappa, that turtle with like a puddle of water in its head.
Let's stop talking about her.
And we're probably on the last break.
Yeah, we got a break. Do we have an actual break here?
Let's talk about her substance. Here we go.
Or no.
You're misstating.
No. I quoted what you said earlier, and it is directly what you said. So just ask me. Yes, no,
I was describing an NIH-funded study.
No, you didn't cite any.
I was describing an NIH-funded study by Cleveland Clinic scientists.
Reclaiming my time. You did not reference it.
Reclaiming my time. Oh, of course. Oh, yes, Jew. Yes, Mass. Yes, Massa Jew. Oh, yes, yes. We're going to bow down to you. You reclaim your time, of course. Yes.
Well,
you can reclaim all the time you want.
Well, it just gets back to my original. He's playing Modern Warfare. This just gets back to my original point that the Jews are alienating all political parties because there are large followings in the left, the right, and the independents that are against this genocide in Palestine. And so the Jews are alienating all of them by saying that any of you that criticize us, it's a blood libel. It's anti-Semitism. And yeah.
The current power in party in power.
But you can't criticize Israel as a country. That's just another country, unless you're saying, and you're clearly admitting, that the Daily Wire is an arm of the Israeli, I guess, media or propaganda machine.
Even large amounts of boomer Trump supporters that listen to Candace Owens, they're being drawn away from the narrative right now as Candace speaks out on the Palestinian genocide. And so, it's going to force Trump further to the right, further to bringing Israel to heel. Will he do it? I doubt it, but his supporters will force him to deal with the issue.
Sir, my message is simple. It's a man, baby.
So, William, what else do we have before the end of the show?
Hey, I just want to mention that tomorrow night, we're going to do like a 3-hour power show. Travis and I are joining up. We're going to combine our show tomorrow. So from 10 to 1. Yes. So from 10 to 1, I must break you. From 10 to 1, tomorrow night, I must break you. And then Travis, we're going to have Monica Schaefer joining us. Shut up! Monica Schaefer is going to join us tomorrow. And then Luke Imagino is he's very excited about talking about Ernst Zundel. So tomorrow night we'll have a packed show, a nice long 2 to 3 hours. Should be Monica will join probably for 2 hours, maybe longer. We'll see. We're going to have a good roundtable discussion.
Think you're tough? You're about to get it.
About Ernst Zundel specifically. That's going to be the topic.
Not too bright, folks. Not too bright.
Well, yeah, I look forward to that because as you pierce through the political narrative, it comes down to Jewish power. It comes down to who supports the genocide in Palestine, who does not. That's what it comes down to. And I'm telling you, we are revolutionary.
I must break you.
Oh, Iman!
Man.
You are seeing a revolution on the left already.
All right, yeah, you're funny. Okay, you're funny. Yeah.
You're already seeing a revolution on the left where the Democrat Party's base does not agree with their leadership. And I think you're going to see this on the right, where people like Owens are going to pull pro-Palestinian people away from the right. And the Jews are scrambling to figure out which way this is going to go. And in the meantime, everything is anti-Semitic. Any criticism is anti-Semitic.
Yeah. Yeah, what are they going to do when they finally go, okay, we can't use this anymore? They're just going to kill everybody? The whole planet? They have some option.
Are you manipulating the religious right in America?
So,
Mike,
let's wait for that third temple. And this is the end of the show. Thank you, William, for joining me.
Yeah. Thank you. And Jeremy, it was always a pleasure. Always fun. Happy weekend, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Ever. Our communities must unite to confront that hatred, injustice, and inequality, because in unity, there is strength.
All right, please donate to the station, but don't give any money to Mike. Okay?
Did you
Mike's fired. Fired, Mike. You're fired.
Fired.
Natural that the leaders of our communities would come together. We have historic ties of fighting racism, oppression, and anti-Semitism together, and we need to strengthen those bonds. We have to remind all of America that the strength of this country lies in its diversity. We need to make sure that our children and our children's children know that we are natural allies. And that's why we started the Congressional Caucus on Black-Jewish Relations, its formal name. I'm very proud to be a founding co-chair along with my friend and colleague, Congresswoman Brenda Lawrence. This caucus has the same goal as today's discussion, to strengthen coalitions that can implement change together by building from our common struggles. And we need that now more than ever. Our communities must unite to confront that hatred, injustice, and inequality, because in unity, there is strength.
Oh, man. I agree. I think I'm going to go work for her now. I'll get some shekels. I need shekels. I'm going to go over to the other side for a little while, okay? I'll be back. Okay, put the needle on the record.